Hey, everybody, are you worried about election integrity? I have an exclusive conversation with Andy Biggs about what's happening in Arizona, HR1, and how we can fix our elections, and exactly what happened in the last election. He is here. If you'd like to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Andy Biggs is here. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I bet you never thought that the Chinese coronavirus could cost you your home, right? It just might be because cybercrime is up 75%. And by far the most serious cybercrime to worry about is home title theft. That's right. Cybercriminals, foreign and domestic, are now after our homes, and it's easier than you might think. The title documents to our homes are online now. The thief finds your home's title and forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating that you sold your home to him. Then he takes out loans on your home and leaves you in debt. You won't know until late payment or eviction notices arrive. Insurance does not cover you, and neither do common identity theft programs. That's why I protect my home with Home Title Lock. The instant Home Title Lock detects someone tampering with my home's title. They help shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. And then use the code RADIO to receive 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com, HomeTitleLock.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. With us today is a great American, a friend of mine. And if every member of Congress was like Andy Biggs, America would be in a great place. Congressman Biggs, welcome back to The Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, good to be with you. And you're the great American, I can tell you that. That's what I'll say.
Well, thank you. And I am on a personal mission to see people like you, or maybe you, run the state of Arizona, because we did this whole thing today about the Arizona Department of Education is your baby racist. I'm sure you probably saw that. Yes. I know that's not what we're here to talk about today, but my goodness, Arizona is changing too quickly. However, to make sure it doesn't change permanently, we must do everything we possibly can to raise awareness around H.R. 1, House Resolution 1. If I'm not mistaken, this has passed the House. Is that right, Congressman Biggs?
Yeah. Last night, late, we passed it out of the House. I should say the Democrats passed it out of the House.
No. So here's just a very technical question. Was there any committee markup, or is this just completely out of somebody's pocket?
That's a good way of saying it. Yeah. No committee. It's a no committee hearing. And they just took it to the floor, right to the floor. So you had a rules committee, because every bill goes through rules. But literally, I tried to offer 13 amendments and no go. And others tried to offer amendments. There's nothing procedurally, Charlie. The Democrats have basically said, we're in power, we're in control, we're the majority. We're not going to go by the normal procedure. And this is, I tell people all the time, you really need to understand what the procedures are, because what pops out of this place, whether it's through somebody's mouth or whatever, it's controlled by the procedure, and the Democrats are controlling the procedure in a way we haven't seen and probably since the history of the country.
They are acting like they have a 70-seat majority when on best days they have a 7-seat majority. And right. It's almost as if the strategy for Pelosi is, I'm going to lose the House in 2022 unless I change the way we do elections. That's basically her viewpoint. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. This bill is designed to solidify the Democrats as the majority party, not only as the majority party, but to make us a unitary party state. And they'll let us win 150 to 165 seats. They don't care, because redistricting might do that. And so they'll say, that's fine, but we'll never, ever give up power again. And they make elections irrelevant that way.
So go through the specifics of the bill. We talked about this in another episode of our podcast, from automatic voter registration of all people, not citizens, but all people. So illegals very well could be registered to vote, and they go through the DMV database, the Federal Bureau of Prisons database. Basically, the most wide sweeping voter registration program ever. And it doesn't stop there. It goes from allowing vote harvesting in all states, right? Ballot harvesting. It goes to attacks on the First Amendment, banning state voter ID laws. I mean, Andy, walk us through this.
Yeah. So what is particularly egregious is they've basically codified every way that in the past, both right and left have said is dangerous to election integrity. So here's, you covered it. So let me just be a little bit more specific. So when we talk about mail-in ballots, every state must allow mail-in ballots to everybody. So the way that works, you're exactly right. They're going through databases and they're going to pull people up and they're going to say, whether it's the federal prison database, Social Security, any kind of federal welfare database is going to be analyzed, and the states are going to do it. And what that does, that means we have no idea how many people are really legitimate, whether they're alive or not, because what's insidious about it, two things insidious, no voter registration at all. So that's what makes it really bad. But here's the other thing. We're not going to let you clean up your rolls. We're going to put speed sticks in a way so you can't clean your voter rolls because we want everybody there. So that means I'll continue to get maybe 2-3 ballots or more because I have, I have a place here or there, whatever. People are going to get those. And when I say that, I'm not getting 2 or 3, but I mean, that's what'll happen. People who have multiple homes, people who get some kind of state benefit or federal benefit, who's calling that? Who's cleaning it up? Nobody. And so when you start adding that to ballot harvesting, which Charlie, in the past, we have seen ballot harvesting when it was legal in Arizona. We've seen it actually change elections. What a lot of people don't know what that means. Here's what it means. You get a paid political operative who's going out and just picking up all the ballots that he or she possibly can. And then they turn around and they're going to take them in and vote those ballots. And since you don't have voter ID, we don't know anybody, if any of those people are legitimate or if they voluntarily gave those to you. We don't know anything about those ballots. It makes it very easy to have fraud. And if we don't control our elections, the bad guys always win. Bad guys always win.
And so, I mean, this bill just gets worse the more we learn about it. And it just roared through the House. I mean, it goes to requiring states to allow felons the ability to vote. And it just keeps going. I want to ask specifically about Arizona as a little bit of a side note from HR1, and I'm going to get back to HR1. We get thousands of emails of people asking about what's the status of an audit of Maricopa County, or can you just comment on that? Because that is a primary concern of our listeners.
Yeah, so I won't get to all the history here, but last week a judge said that the Senate's subpoena was valid, so they can have access to all the ballots and records and the machines to conduct an audit. The state Senate president is trying to implement that now. The county has been, in my opinion, less than cooperative along the way. But I have been told that they're going to have an actual independent forensic audit. And so that an independent forensic audit means that it's not going to be somebody selected by the people who oversee the election, number one. Number two, these are forensics. So they are looking to see if there's any kind of misconduct that happened in it. They're not just doing a recount. And that's kind of what the last audit was. It was just, we saw this many votes for Joe Schmo and in the sample, and it looks like it was right on. That is a recount. That's not an audit. An audit will go through and say, well, every ballot was supposed to be folded. Were these ballots folded? Do these ballots weigh the proper weight? Is there any indication that some of these may have been pre-printed, and where did they come from? It is a total forensic audit. It's overdue, and I think it will be the first independent forensic audit in the country, and when they complete it.
And so that has been approved by the legislature. Is that right, or is that?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
does the governor need to sign it?
They just have to implement it, Charlie. Right now, they just have to implement it, and they're trying to figure out. I mean, you've got the county's trying to deliver all this stuff. The state wasn't ready for it because it kind of rolled through at the last minute. But they're trying to get it all together so they can proceed. it really won't take that long once they actually engage in the audit itself.
So now H.R. 1 is in front of the Senate. And the way things used to work in the House, or the way that things worked when you were in the majority, is you guys went out of your way to try to build bipartisan consensus. You went out of your way to try to entertain the wishes of Democrats. It didn't always work that way, but you guys still went out about your way to do that. So now it's in front of the Senate. Arizona's own Kyrsten Sinema, I have been applauding at least for defending the filibuster, because that might be one of the few things that could actually stop this bill. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So what that means, so for people who don't know what that means, is right now in the Senate, unless there's some kind of special rule, it takes 60 votes to pass a piece of legislation. And so they would need 60 votes on H.R. 1 that said they have to have 10 Republicans cross, basically. And right now, I've been talking to some Senate colleagues, and Mitch McConnell said it publicly, the Senate colleagues confirmed this. He is doing all he can to make sure that he keeps all Republicans a no vote on that. It is such a horrific bill.
I think even Collins and Murkowski won't vote for this. Yeah, I think that even this
I agree with that.
And so therefore, in order to get to cloture, they would need to break the filibuster, but they would still need 50 votes, right? And does it look like Senator Sinema is going to do that, to break the filibuster for that?
I don't believe she will. I haven't spoken to her. She's going to do what she's going to do, so I'm not sure. But she and Manchin in the past have said that they are going to resist the anti-filibuster movement, if you will.
And I think she deserves credit for that. And I don't
absolutely she does.
Yeah, Mark Kelly, I don't know what he's doing, but she's becoming a very hated person of the Democrat Party. And I mean, this bill is so bad, I'm willing to applaud and congratulate anyone for standing up against, even on a process thing, to not allow something like this to actually ensue.
Yeah.
All right, listen closely, everybody. This is a very special offer from a dear friend of mine, someone who has been so generous, so amazing to Turning Point USA and to the Charlie Kirk Show, a friend of mine, Ed Zeman. So look, we talk a lot about Florida, the great state of Florida. And if you or a loved one are looking for an amazing getaway in the greatest state, which is Florida, my home state, look no further than a high-end RV resort, a total amazing experience at the Tides RV Resort, very close to the Tampa St. Pete area. That's the TidesRVResort.com. So look, I visited it myself, actually. My buddy Ed texted me, said, you got to check it out. I want to partner with you guys on the Charlie Kirk Show. So I went a couple weeks ago. In fact, I did the Charlie Kirk Show right from the Tides RV Resort. That's how mission-driven they are. And I've never seen an RV resort before, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. I can tell you right now, five-star, luxury, the best out there. And so maybe you guys are in the RV business. And by the way, some of you might not be, but you should be. It's actually kind of cool. You can see the country. You can live nicely. But for those of you that are in the RV community, by the way, 500,000 RVs were sold last year. This is the place for you. I've been there. And again, it's amazing. It has everything you could want as a high-end RV owner, including two pools, a clubhouse, a 30-acre lake, a billiard room, a card room, an office, kayaking on the river, and plenty more things to do for an active lifestyle. So check it out. If you have an RV and you're planning a big trip, then you know you need an RV resort maybe to park. So go to thetidesrvresort.com. Or just call them directly at 941-244-5744. That's 941-244-5744. The Tides RV Resort is owned and operated, again, by my great friend, Ed Zeman. They're an outstanding family. They love our country, and they want to get behind our program. They've donated very generously to Turning Point USA. So when you maybe check it out or you go there, tell them Charlie Kirk sent you and receive a free gift. That's right, a free gift, and use the promo code Charlie when booking online. Whenever you are in the country, get in your RV or rent one. Experience the beautiful country and take advantage of this amazing getaway in the free open state of Florida. Don't let the lockdowns get in the way of you living your life. Check out the Tides RV Resort. Let me say that again. The Tides RV Resort. The website, thetidesrvresort.com. If you are in the RV world, check it out. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you.
They're amazing people.
And so speaking more broadly, this is going the wrong direction on elections. And, you know, you were someone that was courageous in talking about election integrity, talking about ballot process, talking about signature verification. This does the opposite. This goes in the reverse, where we really, if we did nothing, it would be better than this. So what are the specific measures we should be doing in Arizona, in Georgia? I'm talking about offensive measures to fix the way we do elections. I love the audit. I think it's great. But, you know, Andy, when I see that it took us a week and a half to count ballots in Arizona, I'm ashamed of that. When I hear about people's voting location changes and ballot issues and all of that, what are the specific action steps so that we can restore people's faith in our elections?
Well, I think there's a number of things we can do, Charlie. Number one, one of the first things I would do is I would disaggregate the voting centers and get back to precinct voting. And I would actually make the precinct smaller. Right now, precincts are pretty good sized. But when you say we're going to aggregate voting centers, so you have lots of different precincts that can go, and then you say they can go anywhere they want. Guess what? You get rid of the natural check. So a lot of times when you have precincts, it's your neighbor who sits there. Say, Charlie, oh, hey, Charlie, how are you doing? Good to see you. You're back here to vote again. We need to stop that. I mean, need to get back to that, because this aggregation into one place really gets rid of some of those checks. So that would be step number one and two with that. The next thing is, I think you need to get back to limiting your absentee ballot to people who really are going to be out of the country, whether it's military ballots, people who are disabled or have health problems, or who really have to apply for it every time. So the PEVL, the permanent early voting list, that can be a problem. I like it. I mean, I'm on there. Maybe it's not as clean as we would like. I guess a third thing that you would do is you would say, we're going to make sure that we make it easier to clean up those voter lists in Arizona. And one of the measures that I was trying to get put in this bill is you have to clean it up within 90 days. You have to always get rid of the registrations of people who have died or moved. You got to clean that up within 90 days. Why? Because those are the ballots that can just be floating around and voted by people. So those are some immediate things you should do. I tell you some other things that they ought to do is, I think you're right. It's terrible that we're counting ballots a week, 2 weeks after. As a guy who went through a close election one time, I can tell you it is murderous to sit there just waiting for a long time to find out if you won, and then you go through the recount period, which is another 2 weeks. So they need to design this. The Constitution says election day. It doesn't say election month, and we got to clean that up. And then I guess the maybe one more thing that we could do that would really be helpful is we need to make sure that we are conducting an audit, not necessarily a recount, but an actual forensic audit. And making sure that those go. I mean, I thought Arizona did a fairly decent job before this last election, but I will tell you that a national rating service put us kind of like right in the middle of the pack to the lower half. So it tells me that there's a lot of things we can really do to make this better, and we should. And one other thing, I got to say this. You can't allow the presidential electors to be on autopilot anymore. The state legislature is supposed to determine the manner, and they did, but they put it on autopilot. So it really was like the Secretary of State and the governor. And so if there were ever any question, the legislature has to get back into special session. Well, they can't get in back into special session.
Why?
So
why couldn't they? I never understood that.
Well, because it takes 2/3 votes to get back into special session in Arizona under the Arizona Constitution. And it's too close. So you had 16 in the Senate, and you had 31 in the House. So it just weren't enough to get to 2/3. The Democrats were never going to go back in. The only other way you get in is if the governor wants to go in. In this instance, the governor didn't really want to go in.
Why?
I think because he understood that he might lose some. I don't know. You'll have to ask him. But maybe thought he was going to lose some of his executive authority that came out with regard to the COVID stuff. But the point is, no more autopilot to certification of your electors. The legislature should have to come back in together, hear the presentation before they, and then vote to certify, or and then hand it over to the governor at that point to make the official certification. no more autopilot. That's what happened this last time. It didn't work out real well.
Totally. Yeah. I couldn't understand for the life of me why the governor didn't call a special session. A special session very well could have addressed a lot of these matters in November or December, especially when it came to the electors.
No, that's exactly right. So there's two ways to get in a special session. It's either two-thirds or the governor calls you in. And if they would have called in early, and this is one of the things I said was necessary. I said, you need a special session of the legislature, number one. Number two, you should start your independent forensic audit immediately. We would have been done by the 1st of December for sure. Guess what? If there were no problems, we would have put it to bed. If there were some problems, we would have known. We could have tried to rectify those. And we would have been ready within the by the December 14th timeframe. But we didn't do that. That's a crying shame.
So, Congressman, I know you have a tight schedule to keep, and I want to thank you for coming on. But I want to end with just talking about Arizona. Arizona is where we're doing our broadcast from right now. We employ a lot of people here. I did a whole hour around the Arizona Department of Education and around the direction of Arizona. They just legalized weed, raised taxes, two Democrat senators, electors to Biden, people piling out. And I said on the broadcast, if Arizona does not get their act together, we're done. We're going to Florida and we'll take our jobs with us and we're going to do it quickly. And I wish that wasn't the case because I love this state. But I fled Illinois for a reason and I feel like we're recreating it here. Can you comment on the state of affairs in Arizona? Why are we trending in this direction where critical race theory is being taught in our schools, where we're legalizing weed? Help us make sense of all this.
Well, Charlie, I don't blame you. By the way, you're not the first person that I've talked to since the election who's talked about the taxes and the weed and all the other things that cause such enormous problems for our state. We begin to look like California. And I would say that's part of our problem. We've had so many people come in from California. Charlie, I will go speak to businesses that relocate, and I will thank them for coming. I tell them, this is why you're here. Lower taxes, fewer regulations, better infrastructure. You know, you can feel free. It's cheaper cost of living. Please don't vote to turn us into California. They'll kind of chuckle and titter, you know. And then a few of them get it. A few of them get it, and they say, oh, my gosh, you may be right. But not enough of them get it. So the voters are constantly coming here from California and turning us into California. It is extremely worrying to me. I mean, the fact that we have, I was just talking to one of my staffers today, of the 11 members of Congress we have, seven of them are Democrats now. Seven. That's never been in my lifetime have we had that kind of disadvantage at the federal level. And just eight years ago, Charlie, we had a supermajority of Republicans in the House and the Senate in this state. And we don't have that anymore because of the way it's going. Now, we're going to have to ratchet this back. And I'm still going to keep fighting to take it back. But we need the Independent Redistricting Commission to give us a fairer set of districts. I mean, look, Charlie, we outnumber the Democrats in this state by a significant number.
Yeah.
But our districts were designed. We got greedy, I guess. I'm not sure. But we need to make sure that we're solidly 6-4 going ahead in that. And that would be helpful. We need to take back the Senate, at least one Senate seat. We should be one Senate seat. If Arizona's purpley, we should have one Republican seat. We got the governor's race that's up for grabs. Hey, I'll get back to that Senate seat, Charlie. $97 million. That's how much Mark Kelly spent, $97 million against Martha McSally. 97, she spent 74. Does that tell you how upside down we are in the country where you're spending $150 to $200 million to get a Senate seat? Why? So the federal government can control your state. Anyway, so back to Arizona specific. We can take it back. We're still a center-right state.
I agree.
We're still a center-right state. The question is, can we get some redistricting drawn that will reflect the actual voter registration in the state? And if it does, we'll get the legislature back. We'll start getting the Congress back. And if we do that, then I think we can ratchet back some of these crazy tax. That sales tax that's going in place.
You mean 208? Well, yeah, the Prop 208. The overage on income is just absolutely unbelievable. So I know you got to run, got a lot to do. Andy, thank you for your time. And we're not leaving yet. We're gonna see this thing out because I believe Arizona is a center right state. So God bless you, Andy. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Charlie. Take care, man.
You bet. Thanks. Bye. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. And as always, thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. God bless. Speak to you soon.